Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's Monet Exchange.
And my name is Bob the Drag Queen, and this is Sibling Advice. Now, listen, we all know that we are not doctors.
Not even a little bit.
We're not therapists. We are not psychologists.
We don't know much about algebra.
Psychiatrists. If you need advice, please go to your doctor, your rabbi, your priest, your shaman, your teacher, your therapist. This is just for entertainment purposes only.
Yes, everything we're saying is for use in this podcast only. Do not take this as sound advice to take into the world to remedy your issues. If you have, do not take any of this seriously. This is for entertainment purposes only, and we don't want anyone to feel like we are diagnosing them, that we can give them a prognosis on life.
So with that in line, let's get into some advisory. Any?
Kitty cat, purr. What are you listening to? Can you
hold on one second? Jacob, did you see the supercut of Bosco saying problematic stuff that Mitch put in the video?
I did. It was very funny.
It is very good. Mitch is such a funny editor.
You I'll watch one more time.
That is so funny. He cut together Bosco saying, "I think black girls are not funny, Bob. Why don't you go to hell, you fucking bitch?" But it's literally like, "I think black girls are not funny, Bob. Why don't you go to hell?"
Bosco, I think I've met Bosco a few times and they're very delightful. I really enjoy her.
I like Bosco a lot too.
Bosco. Have you been to Boscov's?
Are we recording?
Yes.
No, what is that?
Boscov's is a department store in Delaware, is where I've seen it. It's like a Macy's or JCPenney.
You wanna do a shirtless podcast?
No, I'm not interested. But you should though.
We should.
I would
do
love
it.
To see you do it. No, you. So try from a me place.
This is our podcast, though.
But I mean, we don't have to do everything together. We do. We oftentimes do separate things on this podcast that makes us happy.
Well, we don't have to do it. I just wanted to know if you wanted to. I've asked you in the past, and you've never said yes.
Yeah, and I will never say yes.
You'd be posting full news on the internet. Pop off.
This is my podcast. This is my place of work. I'm not working on the internet. I'm working here.
You can say that again. You were slacking, honey. Slacking.
Yeah.
All over the internet.
Mm-hmm. But a bitch is still what? Paid. Because it costs $1 billion to look this good.
Wait, so you get do you get paid for the picture or
ease because she got it?
What about those things on your TikTok and Instagram that say paid promotion? It says like paid. Were you working then?
That's on TikTok. I've never been naked on TikTok. Only on Instagram.
I'll be doing a little bit of investigation into that. You haven't posted any paid promotions on Instagram?
What?
You never had a paid promotion on Instagram? You legally can't lie.
I legally can't lie.
Have you ever had a paid promotion on Instagram?
I don't recall.
What about those away suitcases and those pictures you took?
Those?
Yeah.
I don't know what away is.
So you never heard of away suitcase? Wow. Your funny about to get snatched. Y'all about to see Monet at the airport with a bunch of fucking garbage bags. Away's gonna show up and snooch. Okay, sorry, tell me about this restaurant you're talking about.
A restaurant? What?
The place you asked me if I went, I assumed it was a restaurant.
Boscov's? Boss something?
Bitch, I said, I just did a whole explanation to you. I'm not saying anything.
No, but I wasn't listening. I was like talking.
I forget. I don't know what it is.
You know what Boscov's is. Tell me what Boscov's is.
I really don't. I was doing a bit. I don't know.
You knew a second ago and now you don't know?
I was doing a bit.
Oh, there's no Boscov's.
No, there isn't.
Are you lying?
What the hell? Boscov's? I don't know what that means.
You're full of shit. You're gaslighting. Boscov's is, check out our weekly deals, sales, and promotions. Great deals and top brands. Shop Boscov's.com for great values and apparel, shoes, handbags, cosmetics, jewelry, and home. Free shipping at $45.
There you go.
So there is a Boscov's.
There is, and you just explained what it is to all of us. Thank you so much.
You can find a Boscov's near you. They're in Connecticut, Delaware, Maryland, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Rhode Island. There are 26 of them in Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania loves their Boscov's.
Have you ever been to Boscov's?
Yes. My aunt that lives in Delaware. When we used to go Black Friday shopping and stuff, we used to go to Boscov's back in the day.
So you do know what Boscov's is?
Yes.
Jacob, this is advisory, not rivalry. Can you give us our first bit of advice, please?
What is up, sibling rivalry? To Monet, I know you love the British, sir. Top of the morning, love. I hope that did the right things for you, Bob. Sup, nigga? So as you know, we are approaching a new season, but obviously I'm the trade of four seasons. So I'm currently trying to prepare myself for, you know, the fucking pumpkin talk, you know, happy white people, which is upsetting. So my question is, you know, how do you fool people into thinking that you're excited about life? It's not that I'm not a fun person to be around. You know, I like to make people laugh and feel good. But the thing is that I'm not going to fake. I'm not going to fake laugh. I'm not going to fake care. And I think sometimes that can put people off. So, you know, any advice is much appreciated. Thank you for doing what you do. Good luck in the tour. I can't wait for new music. Fucking Monet, just let me take a bite.
Jesus Christ.
Do you want to, this is something very much up your alley. You want to take it first? No.
I'll talk about it. You know, I feel like at parties.
You hate
stuff,
small talk. You don't like smiling at people and stuff. You like, this. I think this is up your alley.
At parties and stuff, I don't particularly care for niceties and small talk, but I do find things that I actually want to have conversations about. So, you know, instead of being like, I don't want to fake laugh, you don't have to fake laugh. No one's asking you to fake laugh. You know, I think I've realized this in life. People who fake laugh, not everyone, but a lot of people who fake laugh, it's because they're uncomfortable. They're not doing it to be fake. They're doing it because they don't know how to deal with the scenario otherwise. They just start laughing. There are certain people who laugh while they're talking. They laugh after everything they say. They're not saying anything funny. They just laugh. I have a friend named Miguel back in New York City who would laugh guffaw at everything he said. No, it doesn't matter what. It could be sad. It could be serious. It could be neutral. It could be funny. He was cackling while he was talking. And I realized it was never because he thought it was funny. It was because he just felt awkward. And he wasn't trying to be fake. He was honestly just doing the best he could with what he had. Now, in my experience, I tend to be the life of the party. I tend to do very well at parties. And I'm not usually fake laughing. I usually just engage in conversations that I want to. And then when someone talks about something I find a little bit interesting, I'll just kind of jump in and tell my, you know, give my two cents on the thing as well. And I think that if you lean into being yourself, you'll get a much better response, actually.
than trying to imitate other people's behavior.
I was gonna say, you sound like a funny person. Like, normally at parties, I'm a very social person, and I'll like buzz around and talk to different people. And I tend to always be like making jokes or like making observations about the party, and that so that people aren't fake laughing. They're like, they're enjoying themselves and they're laughing with me because I'm cracking jokes. And so you seem like someone that can do that too. You seem, from how you submitted your question, you sound like someone who is the life of the party as well. You sound like someone who's cracking jokes, someone who can make other people laugh. So I would say lean into that personality so you don't feel like you're at the will to laugh at other people's jokes. Bitch, you be the joke teller. You be the story crafter. You be the one who is making the party fierce if you want to take that on. And if not,
he's black.
So?
You told him to be a story cracker.
I said story teller. Joke cracker. I meant joke cracker.
You told him to be a joke cracker. He's black.
Oh my God. So, but it's also if you... Also, if you're going to this party,
is Trixie a joke cracker?
She is. And you're not particularly interested in like carrying on. And maybe you just want to go to this party because you know they're going to have some good hors d'oeuvres. Let me tell you, bitch, I fucking love hors d'oeuvres. It's like my favorite food. Sometimes you just want to go to a party just for the little hand tricks and the free drinks, and that's cool too. And on the subject of happy white people, I know it is upsetting sometimes to see white people cheersing their pumpkin spices and drinking out their cups, and then bitches just smiling and kiki and cockeying. It is sometimes it's hard to do. And you know what? Just spit on them. I'm kidding. Don't do that. I'm being silly. I don't really mean that.
I've expressed one time, and people were kind of like, I don't get it. And some folks are like, no, I get it. Watching white people laugh in a group is irritating. What y'all niggas laughing at? What the fuck are y'all watching? A bunch of white people like by in a picture, all laughing. My first thought was like, what the fuck are you laughing at? I want to know what you're like. I want to know what's so fucking funny. I would really like to know, as a matter of fact. I don't know why it bothers me so much. It just irritates me. You never feel that?
For sure. So what you see, they have days. Like Bob makes... There have days when I walk around and I'm not in the best mood. I'm not smiling at things. I'm just irritated. And then I would I know I have to run to a mall to pick up a thing that I have to get for a thing. I'll just walk around with my glasses on and just mean mugging the whole time. And I think that is a perfectly acceptable space to be sometimes. You don't always have to be happy and cheery and goofy and kiki and kakain. Being angry and annoyed and pissed off is great too. And I love being in that space just as much as I like being happy.
I do think that if you're gonna be if you're gonna go to a party and you're in a bad mood, maybe sit that party out. If you're in a mood where you're like, I can't recover from this, maybe sit that out. Don't bring that energy to a party. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, for sure.
But also sometimes
the hors d'oeuvres are gonna be good.
Sometimes you have a contrary opinion. It can be really cool to like have a really cool conversation at a party. If everyone's talking about the Zodiac, I'm the one who will be like, I don't really know if I believe in the Zodiac, and then you might end up having actually a really fun and cool conversation.
Yeah.
In my Monet experience.
Shall we take on the next question?
You ever use that as some sort of a branding tech thing? In my Monet experience, and then you give advice?
On the exchange rate, the producers, they made a lot of money puns for me. We were not short of money puns. Every segment
That's not a money pun though.
I mean a pun or a play on my name. My show was full of them.
Do you think they use Monet experience?
I think we did use Monet experience for something actually. I'm pretty sure we did.
Imagine an app designed to make you use it less. Seems counterproductive, right? Well, Apartments.com's instant alert feature works exactly that way. Instead of scanning rental listings a million times a day, simply set and forget your search to whatever you're looking for in the place and let Apartments.com do the rest. From pet-friendly apartments to balconies to in-unit ACs, Apartments.com's powerful search tool lets you know when the perfect combination of features you're seeking is listed. So now you don't have to power through rental descriptions one by one. With more rental listings than anywhere else, Apartments.com's instant alert means you can spend less time online looking for the perfect place and more time to do you. Apartments.com, the place to find a place.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
All right, hit it, Jacob.
My name is Bob. I'm a lesbian in my 30s living in Los Angeles, and I've recently been touched by an angel. I got some lip filler, some other filler, and I'm very happy with the results. It's still a little bit odd looking in the mirror and seeing myself. But my question is, my friends are, you know, obviously they're noticing the difference. They're saying, wow, you're looking so good. You really, really look good. And which makes me feel a little bit conflicted. I mean, obviously that was the point, but part of me is like, well, when the fillers dissolve, how am I going to feel? Am I going to have to keep doing this the rest of my life? I want to, but then again, I'm feeling, well, my self-confidence shouldn't be based solely on my amount of lip filler. I don't know. I'm just wondering if you've ever experienced anything similar. Thank you. Love you both.
I mean, considering your what you said on the last episode, do you want to take this one first too?
So yesterday, one of my best friends called me out at work for having filler.
Okay.
In front of all of our coworkers.
Okay, let me say this. We were on the podcast and we were on the thing and I was like, something looks different about your face. I don't know what it was. I don't know what this, Bob could have said anything.
So, I could have lied, but I chose not to lie. I could have been like nothing, literally nothing. So yeah, I have had a scenario where a friend of mine in a professional space called me out for getting work done. And I have evidence to prove it, by the way. Something about your face. What did you do to your face?
I did not do that. I said something looks different.
But if it wasn't work, what would it be?
I don't know what it would be. Maybe you don't.
I've been using a sculpting tool, bitch.
You don't moisturize. You
maybe, I do moisturize.
Well, I'm saying Layla tried to put you on like a full skincare regimen that you don't do. Maybe like you started doing that. I don't know.
There's literally shea butter right next to my.
Okay, shea butter for your face.
I don't use it on my face, but I'm saying I moisturize.
I'm talking about skincare. Skincare that you do.
I moisturize my face too. You think my skin looks like this and I don't do nothing?
No, but
to it?
A cleanser, a toner, a serum, an eye cream.
Okay, toner is not moisturizer.
Toner is part of a skincare.
Cleanser is not moisturizer.
Regimen.
I didn't say it's not part of skincare. I said, you said you don't moisturize.
And I fixed, and I said, you're right.
Yeah,
I
meant, fix I yourself. Meant,
oh my God, I'm going to literally punch
fix yourself body. Real quick.
Bitch, next time I see you, the way I on fix site, this skin. On site, be like,
but I was thinking of today, you and I should do, for the Patreon, we should play basketball. Will you beat me in basketball?
Oh, for sure.
We need to play a game of 21.
We need to do anything you can do. We need to do basketball, football, and soccer.
You need teams to do football. There's no two-person football.
Yes, you can.
Two-person football?
Yeah.
How?
With the flag. You put the little flags, and whoever gets the flag of the other person.
But that's not.
Indeed, I can play football.
Andy, yeah, and me and
I'm
Andy will
Andy
fucking
against Jacob. I don't want to embarrass him.
Andy will pick up Jacob by his ankle and fucking Hercules Jacob across the motherfucking parking lot.
Don't ever underestimate Jacob. That's your first mistake.
Okay. Now let's do it then. Me and you,
just like Andy was positive he was going to take me down in our little mercy game. Andy was like, "Oh, I'm gathering you." Within 3 seconds, your little boyfriend, who you were like, "My boyfriend can gather you," was gathered. Yeah. And you were on the podcast. Andy gonna whoop you up. Andy gonna this. Andy gonna that.
Never said that.
Yes, you did.
I never did. When?
Back when we talked about arm wrestling, you were like, "Get Andy. Andy gonna gather you. Andy gonna get you." Because you all remember this, Jacob. Do you remember any of this specifically? When we talked about arm wrestling. Monet was like, "Do Andy. Andy gonna get you."
No, I did not.
Yeah, she was, but I mean, that's kind of, I think she was more doing it as a bit.
It doesn't matter. You said what you need to say. Monet said she didn't, and we know she did.
Well, how about,
got gathered by me.
And how about you and Andy do your little leg game?
Jake goes to the gym 5 times a week.
We'll put Andy down. How about me and Patty versus you and your little boyfriend?
Okay, I was going to squash y'all niggas. First of all, Jacob is going to beat your boyfriend up. Jacob goes to the gym literally 5 days a week. Okay. Jacob will literally beat your boyfriend.
Jacob is
the
literally
fuck
like,
up.
Jacob was like, please, ixnay on the beat up say. Hey, Jacob was like, don't.
Jacob has been taking pole dancing class. He has very strong arms and legs. Jacob will literally beat your boyfriend up.
Not true.
In his little fucking sober mobile. Anybody get fucked up, you just sign Andy's fucking death certificate.
You just
put a hit out on your own boyfriend.
You know what? We will even let you invite another Polly into the cube, because it'll be 2 against 3 and we'll still mollywop all 3 of y'all niggas.
Is Andy, you better go say goodbye now to Andy, because Andy might not make it
home
tonight.
He's not here. Because you know what he's doing? He's at a motherfucking Spartan race, honey. Something that you and your boyfriend could never do. Jacob, he's over here working on his motherfucking fitness, bitch. He's
Jacob,
working on his
it.
Fitness.
Jacob, handle it. Jacob, that's all I gotta say. Handle it, Jacob.
We go get Jacob his little asthma pump.
Jacob does not have asthma. How dare you? My baby is fit and healthy.
Wow, I want to say there is nothing wrong with people who have asthma, y'all. Wow, Bob. There is nothing wrong with people
anyway,
who have
now,
asthma.
Now, back to this girl that had a lot to ask us on advisory the other day. Lesbian, what's good? You know, I think that let me say this. I thought about the other day, too. So I went to this doctor. I did not know I was going to talk about my fucking filler 2 episodes in a row. I went to the doctor. I mentioned to my publicist, I was like, I want to get a little lipo down here. I've mentioned this on the podcast before. I was like, I want to get a little lipo right here. I went into the doctor. The doctor said, you actually don't have enough fat there to pull. That's not fat. That's actually muscle. You just have like a strong fucking thing. And then you have sub-something fat. Meaning
subdermal.
Fat. It wasn't subdermal. He used a different word. It was like submuscular, whatever. It's not bleached skin. It's like fat beneath them. But he's like, it's just part of who you. It's not like there's no working out you can do that can get rid of it. There's no lipo. It's just part of who you are. You have a thick layer of muscle and then some fat underneath that. But what you actually need to do is just get your chin either an implant, or you can do filler, which is less permanent, will go away after about a year and a half. And some people just go back and do it every couple of years. And your worth should not be based on how people view you. I was thinking about this today. I was watching, me and Jacob were watching episode 3 of We're Here Today, and Shangela's Drag Kid in St. George, Utah, was talking about how nice it feels to be seen as a man, to be seen as a guy, to not be seen as a girl. He's transmasculine. And of course, the part of me is like, what does it matter how people view you? But also, what really matters is how you view yourself. If that makes you feel good, there's nothing wrong with doing that. There's nothing wrong with getting up and doing your hair every day. It takes more effort to do your hair every day or get a haircut every couple of weeks than it does to get filler once every year and a half. There's nothing wrong with doing something to your body. But society has made you believe that if it's cosmetic, or if it's some sort of a cosmetic procedure, that there's something wrong with them that's bad. Dyeing your hair is really no different to me than getting Botox. In fact, dyeing your hair takes longer.
Yeah.
And you have to do it more frequently. There's nothing wrong with liking the way you look with some lip filler. Do not let society tell you that getting filler or getting Botox or getting liposuction or getting an eyebrow lift or going on a diet or staying off a diet or gaining some weight or losing some weight. You want to pick up pounds. You want to lose pounds. If it makes you feel good and it doesn't feel negative to you, then I think you should do it.
I agree. And if you have people who you feel like are judging you for this, whether it be albeit friends or family, I think that's when you can have a conversation and be like, hey, I don't like that you guys say this about my filler or whatever I'm doing. Like, I don't like it. It doesn't make me feel good. If there are people, now if there are strangers that you feel are judging you, I mean, I don't think it's worth having a conversation with them. Bitch, what strangers think about you? I have a tattoo on my back. What others think of you is none of your business. So if it's strangers, whatever. But if they're close friends or family or partner, then I think since you're a lesbian, it's a girlfriend or girlfriend prospect, if they're the ones making you feel strange or weird about it, then I think having a conversation about it, because these are people that you will have to deal with forever or a long time. So it's not worth being uncomfortable because you don't want to say something. I say something so you can eliminate that part of it. But yeah, bitch, do what you want. I am all about cosmetic surgery. I'm like, bitch, live your life. I'm all about going to the gym as much as you want, dyeing your hair, like, live. Life is too motherfucking short to not be happy to look how you want to look for the time that you are alive on this fucking earth. Because a lot of people are dead and didn't get a chance to do it. So I'm all about doing what you want to your body to make yourself happy. Period.
How lucky are you to live in 2022 and you get to have lip filler? People in the 60s are just like, I just got these little paper cuts.
Mm-hmm. People in the early 90s. I know people, old gays from the 90s that got filler back then and it wasn't what it is now. And bitch, their shit is fucked up because the science was different. And like it, and back then, the science, it would like clump up. So sometimes you see people who used to get filler back in the 90s and their lips are kind of like, they're kind of misshapen because of how the filler, you know, ended up aging because it wasn't great stuff back then. So you're in a time where it looks good now and it will later. So bitch, use it, abuse it, and be fierce.
And if you have a friend that calls you out, you know what? They're probably jealous. All right, go ahead.
Honestly. Because that bitch is broke and they can't afford the filler you got.
Yeah, if a friend calls you out at work for about it, they're probably broke and jealous.
100%. Absolutely.
Like, yeah, anyway, go ahead. What's the next one, Jacob?
Hi, Monet and Bob. My question is, how do you guys feel about colorism in the dating aspect? I'm 21 and a lot of guys, they don't even pay me any mind because I'm a dark-skinned woman. And I feel like I have to do more to look pleasing. But if a light-skinned woman just steps out the house, she's automatically attractive just because of the complexion of her skin. I don't get a lot of attention because of that. It might be where I'm from, but how do you guys feel about that? Do you witness a lot of that?
I think colorism is something that is very pervasive in our society, whether it be dating, friendships, work, whatever. Like it's a very real conversation, and not just for Black folk, for other ethnic groups too. You know, it is a very big thing. And as it pertains to dating, I hear a lot of people talk about this, they have to have two minds about it. One mind is, well, bitch, kind of like with gays, like with like, I don't want any femmes, I don't want any fats, whatever. I'm like, well, I don't want you either. Like if you're not looking for that, then thank God you're putting it on Front Street, because then I don't want to fucking fuck you or suck your dick or date you if that's your mindset. So my mind is like, if someone doesn't want to be with you because you have darker skin, and I'm like, well, thank you for letting me know, because I'm not wasting my time. But also the moral aspect of it is like, bitch, like what the fuck is wrong with you? What kind of self-loathing and self-hate do you have towards your own people that because my skin is darker, that you don't want to date me or you don't find me attractive? It's really fucked up. And I think it's just a lot of work that we have to keep on doing and calling it out. Now I'm saying, I don't think you want to get into a screaming match with some person on a dating app that doesn't want to date you because you're darker skin. I'm like, that I wouldn't want to do that either, but I think it takes us societally to like mention it and doing like things on this podcast. As someone that may be listening and who is perpetuating that behavior, calling it out now, unless you submitting your question to have this conversation out loud, I think is steps to helping solve the problem and helping people realize their own racial biases for people in their community.
I was just, whenever I hook up with someone who's dark skinned, it is so wild. I remember this one guy who's dark skinned, and whenever we have sex, I'd be like, we literally look like one person. Like I literally can't tell where I end and where you begin.
That's a lyric. Bitch, let me write that down.
I want money. And if I hear you, and if I hear you fucking sing it at all, run me a check. Evidence right here. Anyway, that's just a total side note. Colorism is so serious and it is so real. And I am pretty dark skinned. You know, I come from a pretty dark skinned family. We are my nickname in elementary school was Blackie, and as a reminder, I went to an all black elementary school, so they called me Blackie because I was like the blackest one of the blackest of the blacks, and it was just not fun. Like, man, it was shit. It felt like shit. It felt so bad as a child. I answer right now, if you're out there listening to me right now, listen to me. This is real. And I was thinking with the other day, I didn't want to tweet it because it just felt like so weird to tweet, but I need to say this somewhere. Never ever tell a kid they're ugly. You cannot ever tell a kid that. I'm telling you guys, you can't do that to a child. That is something that a child will can probably never recover from. Mm-hmm. It, if you tell a kid they're ugly, it is in the back of your mind till the day you die. Because you're so formative when you're young. And when someone tells you that you're ugly, especially a bunch of other kids or like an adult, that shit can really fuck you up.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I got that off my chest. But I think that Monet is right. Like, honestly, it sounds so basic, but it is their loss. It is their loss. If they don't want to be with you because you're dark skinned, and colorism is really, really rough especially, I feel personally a lot amongst the straights. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so I don't know what it is with like straight guys specifically saying out loud the words like no dark-skinned girls.
Like Chris Brown. That's go ahead. Think of thing.
I mean, that's pretty much it. What did you say about Chris Brown?
Well, because Chris Brown was supposed to be honored at the AMAs. He was supposed to be honored at the AMAs for doing, they wanted to do some dance, but the AMAs pulled his performance. Or they decided not to go with it. I guess maybe some people were like, Chris Brown, like, did y'all forget? And people were like, oh, man, he apologized to Rihanna. Rihanna, forgive him. Why can't y'all move on? And then Kelly Rowland was like, we're not going to do that. And I'm like, it's not just the Rihanna thing. Like, also, that is Rihanna's choice to forgive him.
Kelly Rowland said, we're not going to forgive him or we're not going to not forgive him?
We're not going to not forgive him. Because like, she was announcing him. She was like, and the winner is Chris Brown. And people were like booing. She was like, we're not doing that. And she's like, Chris Brown, I love you, support you, blah, 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 blah.
Oh, Kelly Rowland supports Chris Brown.
Yeah. So, and I'm like, and first of all, that's Rihanna's problem. I was, as a person who was digesting pop culture, I saw that. And I can choose myself and us as a general public can choose whether or not, like, how we feel about the situation. But not just that. Chris Brown is so vocal about light skins only and like, and him not like wanting to go with dark skin girls and stuff like that. So I'm like, this not just a Rihanna thing. There are other layers as to why Chris Brown and the colorism thing being such a big issue in the black community, to have really big black entertainers who are very popular in the community say shit like that only helps perpetuate the behavior by other dudes and people in the community.
Didn't Chris Brown get into like a fight with Frank Ocean over some like homophobic shit?
I don't know. Did he?
Apparently, Chris Brown and Frank Ocean got into like a huge fight, apparently. And apparently, Frank Ocean was throwing hands.
Oh, yeah. Chris Brown and Frank Ocean Twitter beef.
But I think it became, I think that,
let's see.
It got real in the real
Chris
world.
Brown, Chris Brown tweeted, I fuck with Frank Ocean. It reminds me of a young James Fauntleroy or Kevin Costner. I don't know who that is. And then then Frank Ocean said, I fucked with Chris Brown. Reminds me of a young Cisco or Ike Turner.
Wait.
And then Frank Ocean said, I just don't understand underhanded comments. That's all I'm saying.
Wait. Does Frank Ocean literally have no chill? Frank Ocean has two settings. Calling you Ike Turner or selling you a $40,000 cock ring. This is crazy. No, that is wild.
It was a compliment, you bitch ass nigga. Everybody came to be the devil till they meet him. And then she was just going back and forth.
So is Chris Brown saying he's the devil?
Chris Brown tried to shake Frank Ocean's hand, and Frank Ocean was like, "No, thank you."
Honestly, Frank Ocean better work.
And then allegedly, this is where the stories get kind of murky. In some accounts, it looks like Chris Brown punched him in the face. At some other point, it just looks like other people started fighting. And then, in that fight, somebody in Brown's crew called Frank Ocean a faggot. And it started
fight. You call me a slur. You've been thinking of the whole time. Like, if we fight and you call me a slur, that's been in your mind the whole time. Do you feel that way, Mona?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
How do we even get on this?
I don't know. Oh, we're talking about colorism and Chris Brown. Da, 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 da. But, yeah, so.
Was this from the Lip and Jackson's question? The light skin question.
So, long story short, again, I think that us having this conversation and the dialogue is important. But it's something that's so heavily embedded in our culture.
Is that really colorism sad in St. Lucia?
I honestly know. I do. I maybe I was so young, I don't realize. And going back, I don't realize it now. I'm sure people who live there may have a different experience, but I don't, like, they were just black people. And the thing that stuck out was the few, when I was young, few white people that lived on the island. But
you have any light-skinned friends?
They were, yeah, like light skin and dark-skinned West Indian people. In Jamaica, it's a very big thing. Like a lot of, colorism? You know, a lot of Jamaicans, yeah. Because it's so much so that a lot of people in Jamaica who are dark-skinned, they bleach their skin to be light-skinned. But that's not a thing in St. Lucia at all. Like,
you know, colorism is huge, and it's like really intense. Specifically, South Korea and
Brazil
and Cuba.
Oh, Cuba, really?
Oh, yeah, in Cuba? Oh, my God. The colorism is apparent. I've never been to Cuba, but from what I hear, the colorism is like really intense in Cuba because there's a lot of black Cubans.
Yeah.
And also in like the Dominican Republic, which is why some people are saying a lot of Dominicans say they're not black, no matter how black they look, because they just don't want to be black. Black like that.
Our next partner has truly made a positive impact on the most important person in my life. And no, I'm not talking about Jacob. I'm talking about my cat. My cat's old food used to stink, stank, stunk, y'all, okay? And I used to dread every time I had to feed Miss Colleen. That old cat food was warming. It was gray. It was looking crazy. And I could see Colleen literally vomiting telepathically at the thought of having to eat it. And cat food has been the same forever, so it's time cat food took the move to the 21st century, and that's why I've been trying Smalls. Are you feeding your cat kibble? Now is the time to update your cat food with Smalls. Smalls cat food is protein-packed recipes made with preservative-free ingredients you'd find in your fridge, and it's delivered right to your door. Smalls was started
now,
back
I was watching my poor niece eat literal hard kernels of dry cereal while Monet and Andy were eating gourmet food. And that's actually when I stepped in and I said, we need to make sure that she's eating as well as you two are, okay? Smalls was started back in 2017 by a couple of guys home cooking cat food in small batches for their friends. And a few short years later, they served millions of meals to cats around the world, honey. And I feel better knowing that Colleen is eating well. And that she has an aunt like me who looks out for her to make sure she's not eating that old burnt up kibble. You can finally open up a packet of cat food and not get nauseated. You actually recognize the ingredients in the packet of Smalls Food. Now give your cat the gift of great cat food this holiday season. Head to smalls.com/rivalry and use code rivalry to check out for 50% off your first order plus free shipping. That's the best offer you'll find. But you have to use the code RIVALRY for 50% off your first order. One last time, that's promo code RIVALRY for 50% off your first order plus free shipping.
Okay, Jacob, next question.
Hi, Bob and Monet. So, I'm a 22-year-old gay person living here in Saudi Arabia, which is a very homophobic environment, both inside of my house and outside of my house. And I really want to be able to express my gender identity and my sexuality and my drag, but I really cannot. The circumstances don't allow it, and I won't be able to for the next coming years, not until I graduate college and try to immigrate. I just wanted to ask, like, what advice would you give to someone trying to survive being in the closet for a long time and feeling depressed about it? Thank you very much. I love the podcast.
That's a tough one.
That makes me I'm very sad hearing that.
I know. I just got very sad. Same. Because it's just in that kind of in their tone, they just sound so defeated. And I cannot imagine living in a space and not being able to express yourself freely and to be that sounds very sad. And also, you live in a country that you may be pursued by law. Like, you may be in jail. You could, I mean, I don't know the exact laws in the Middle East, but you know what it sounds like? You're like, you could be stoned or some crazy thing. So I don't even want to give any advice to put you in danger of any of that stuff.
It sounds so terrifying. You know, there's a company called Rainbow Railroad, which helps people seek asylum and get out of places where they feel like they're in danger, specifically queer people. It's called Rainbow Railroad. It's really, honestly, one of the most sickening charities I've ever come across in my life. They help people get out of very, very scary places and get them to safety and help them seek asylum. But, you know, the thing about seeking asylum is, if you seek asylum, you can't go back.
Yeah.
Like, you have to give up everything. You can only reach out to your family via Zoom or if they come to you. That's what people don't realize about asylum. So like when everyone's like, just go seek asylum. Like you can, like people who seek asylum, like we have a friend who seeks asylum from Russia, a drag queen in New York City, and she can never go home again, ever. She literally cannot go back home.
Yeah.
That is so.
Yeah.
It's just really sad. You know, I think that your safety is really important. And I think that happiness is a part of safety. And I think you have to weigh what's important to you and what feels urgent and what you need now. You know, maybe what you need now is a home, but maybe what you need down the line is queer community. Maybe you can find queer community online in a way that maybe your family won't see it by like listening to this podcast. Maybe there's queer people that you can talk to online. I'm afraid to even say meet them in person because my God, that sounds so scary.
Yeah.
But thank God we live on the internet now. We're in the digital age. You know what I mean? And I just hope that one day you're in a place where you can feel free to be yourself and hold hands with who you want to hold hands with and be the kind of person you want to be. I really count my lucky stars every day that I live in a place where that's not the case yeah. for me.
And all for something that happens in fucking nature. And like people, Christians and stuff, they try to say it's not natural. Bitch, it is so natural. Fucking mad animals do it. Dolphins, lions, bitch, penguins they develop same-sex relationships and they adopt and raise baby penguins together. You know how much more natural can it get?
You know what they don't do in nature? Praise the Lord. Worship Jesus. There's no religion in nature. That's what they don't, that's what's not natural. Is anyone ever going to talk about that?
That's a good point.
There's no zebras worshiping the Lord out here.
You make some. You know what? You should become. You know how they have the Antichrist. You should be an anti-pastor. You should be an anti-rabbi. You had some very good points. It does not happen in nature.
Never, not once. There are no Christian.
Maybe in
giraffes.
The Lion King.
Yeah, in the movie The Lion King, it did happen. But as far as I know, there are no Christian giraffes.
That's a good point. You're so smart sometimes, my little baby.
Christian with his little giraffe. Yeah, I saw a video of a giraffe recently, and I was like, my God. Giraffes look crazy. A giraffe is fully a dinosaur. Like, when you look at a giraffe, you're like, this is insane. Have you ever seen one in real life?
Not in real life. Oh, I did, actually. Andy and I went on a safari.
They look like dinosaurs. I feel the same way about ostriches and emus. Emus look crazy.
Bitch, on Reddit the other day, I was scrolling through Reddit. I don't know what page I follow on Reddit, but it was an ostrich just running through traffic, and then it got hit by a car, and that bitch got up and fucking kicked the car and then went on his merry way. I was like, these motherfuckers are crazy.
An ostrich can run like 40 miles an hour or something.
It's crazy.
Like, they are so scary.
Have you ever seen that lady on TikTok who, like, she's
43 miles an hour. The one who's like this to the ostrich?
Yeah, and she, like, stops them. I'm like, bitch, that thing looks like it's going to get her.
Yeah,
no, it's not an ostrich. It's like an emu or something like that.
Ostriches and giraffes look insane. I saw a giraffe online, and then I was like, this just doesn't even look like a real creature. This long-ass neck. And do you know how giraffes give birth?
Oh, yeah, standing up.
The baby just falls.
Yeah.
Hits a dip on birth. Ow. Gets up, starts catwalking. Dun, 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 like, gets up and just gets tens across the board.
Yeah, giraffes are wild. I've never seen, you know, years ago, and if y'all are listening, I am sorry I've had to cancel the gig so many times. I'm going to have my people reach back out to me because I want to go. I definitely want to go. The gig in Cape Town and Johannesburg, I really want to go. Trinity did it and Detox did it. And they said, girl, I can't recommend this gig enough. It's such a good time. And I was like, I know it's a good time. Something just, it's always something going on with my schedule. I haven't been able to go. So I want to go and I want to see and touch the animals. I want to be amongst my people, the giraffes.
You think you're a giraffe?
For sure. What are you
doing? What does that look like to you?
A pen?
It's like a superhero with a cape.
You one of those kids. You're one of those kids that had to play with pens and put post-its on it as a thing.
Yeah, we didn't all grow up with
no,
$1 Lego sets.
I didn't have imagination. I needed the real thing.
So please forgive us. Those of us who had to resort to pens, you'll forgive us. That right?
was you. No. I wasn't a kid. I didn't make kitty sounds. I didn't do stuff like pew pew. That was not me.
You sound like you were real fun.
That wasn't me.
You sound like you must have been a riot to hang out with this child.
I couldn't do it with the fake shit. I needed the real shit. I was playing my Nintendo 64.
You never played pretend?
No. Because
damn, that shit sounds sad as hell. You never play make believe. You never had play nothing?
No. I was real.
Did you ever believe in Santa Claus?
I did. I think as late as like 7.
Did you have a tooth fairy, Easter bunny?
We didn't have a tooth fairy. We dug up eggs on Easter, but I know that my mom did it. It wasn't no damn bunny.
You're like, we know. You probably smug about it too.
Dug up eggs? Like they were buried underneath the ground?
Well, no. Like they would put them in like a plant, or they put them like in like our yard. We had a yard, so they'd be like all over the ground.
So
you're
just watching your mom hide the eggs and then just picking them up where you saw her put them down?
No, she would do them like when we weren't looking.
You was like, mm-hmm.
While she was hiding the eggs, I was getting the goat in the pan.
The curry goat.
I was like, this bitch thinks she's slick. I was like, yeah, Ma, go hide the eggs.
We didn't really do, we did Easter eggs at church. We never did them at home, though.
Back when you were arming your arsenal with your anti-Christ rhetoric.
That's when I studied, honey.
Like, you know what's not natural? Animals praising the Lord.
I thought about, I was like, you know, there should be some sort of imagine if there was like a church, but it's not actually church. It's just like healing group therapy that you go to get good advice from a person who is kind of pastoral, but I mean, honestly, it's AA. But you don't have to be sober for it. You can just go to this place, get good advice, and it doesn't have to be through the guise of like the Lord.
I think the same thing, but do it with like mushrooms or like acid or like ayahuasca. That's even more healing.
Maybe we should start our own thing.
I think, okay, but I don't think.
That's a cult. We're not going to do that. I'm going to stop that before it gets out of control. That's a cult, and we're not doing that. We need to move
Bob,
on. Bob,
let's do it.
Let's go to the next question, Jacob. Hey, try to start a cult.
You the one that wanted to start it, not me.
And then the gaslighting. This is crazy. I want the garage.
I hope you guys are doing really good. So basically, I need advice on just like how to not like be jealous over like fucking like just boys. Like that shit is dumb and I hate it. And I hate that I'm like that. But like, I don't know. It's like, if anything ever makes me jealous, if I'm like talking to a boy or whatever, I'm like, oh, bitch, who cares? Like, no need to be jealous, blah, blah, blah. But bitch, fucking 10 minutes later and I'm sitting there mad because I'm jealous and it's stupid. So any advice is greatly appreciated. Love you both. You're both so amazing. And yeah, thank you.
They're of other boys or
just I think you mean jealous of like his partner talking to boys.
Got it.
I think. Unless you're just jealous of like your friends being like successful or your friends. There are times where I get very jealous of people who aren't, I'm not dating, but like, you ever had a friend who like gets all the people you want? And you're like, that was like everyone I've ever wanted to hook up with, you've hooked up with. This is crazy.
I don't think so, actually.
Me either, actually. But anyway, so may I offer this notion? Jealousy is a symptom. It is not the illness. It is just a symptom of something else. Often it is a symptom of insecurity. So that's where you have to work on the insecurity. And then I think that if you work on the insecurity, then the symptoms of your insecurity will be lessened over time. So if you're insecure about whether or not your partner really loves you, maybe work on your relationship. If you're insecure about if your partner thinks you're sexy, maybe talk to your partner about that. Maybe you will learn that your sexiness is not actually derived in your physical beauty, or that your sexiness is not actually in competition with anyone else's beauty. You know what I mean? Maybe your insecurity is in whether or not your partner thinks you're funny. And he thinks that these people, he has a better connection with other people. And then you might realize that your partner actually loves your connection and he doesn't want it to be different. He just likes having a different connection with other people too. You know what I mean? So I would say, I would look at the symptom. I mean, look at the cause of the symptom as opposed to looking at the jealousy as if it's the end all be all.
I think that's great advice. I also want to offer this to you too, is that, like, let's say someone is like, you're not going to be every single thing that your partner wants. There's always going to be someone prettier, funnier, smarter, more in shape, or whatever. Like, you, there's no way that you can be the motherfucking super Thanos of life to your partner. So I think that accepting that truth to be truth, and that's a big step in it. Also, talking to your partner, kind of in line with what Bob is saying, having these conversations with your partner and being vocal and honest about it, it's another big big part of the puzzle in that. Because I think like once you are allowing yourself to be like, hey, babe, this is what I'm feeling and this is why I feel that way, then that opens up your partner as well to maybe affirm you more, to maybe spend time with you more, or to just make things to help you feel better in that thing. But just know, you have to know in your mind that you will never be the hottest, the funniest, the tallest, the prettiest. Like no one will be that. There is always going to be something else better. But just having a strong foundation and having open and honest conversation with your partner is a valuable way and a good way, in my opinion, to remedy that.
You also don't need to be all that stuff. And I would say there's always something better. There's always something different. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And each people value things differently. And you also just, you don't like, if you, I think personally, that if you feel the need to be your partner's everything, there's a much, much more important conversation to be had. Mm-hmm. Because you have to be you have to be your everything, not your partner's everything. Be your everything.
Yeah, is that Mary J. Blige? You're my everything, and everything is you.
I don't recognize that lyric.
You're my everything.
Oh,
and everything is you, and you're my everything. Yeah, it's Mary J. Blige.
I was wrong. I do recognize that lyric. Actually, I just didn't recognize you weren't singing it.
Thank you, Bob, for pointing that I wasn't singing it. Duh.
I just don't know if you know what singing is technically or not. I don't know if Jacob, you know what singing is.
Jacob, next question, please.
Can you define singing?
Hey, Bob and Monet. My name is Nathan. I'm 30 years old. I am based in Bristol in the UK. I am a queer, non-binary person of colour. And recently, I have put on a bit of weight. I fluctuate with my weight anyway, but since the lockdown, I've got the biggest that I've ever been. And I love my body. I am very comfortable in my skin, but I am really struggling to express myself in the ways that I usually do. In terms of the way that I dress, and this is difficult for me because this means that I am basically just dressing very, in quotation marks, mask most of the time, and not really exploring that femme, in quotation marks, side of me. And I was just wondering if you had any advice.
What's their name again?
Fun fact.
Cody?
I don't remember.
Anyway, all right, go ahead.
Nathan.
How
did you get Cody from the...
I don't know.
Fun fact about Bristol, when I did my first Wonder Woman show, Call Me by Monet, when I took it to the UK, bitch, Bristol was my first city. They lost my bags in Bristol. And then I didn't have it for Bristol, didn't have it for Dublin, and then they showed up in Glasgow like 3 days later. But I had... So it was just local queens bringing things to the show so that I could wear it.
Bristol.
So as someone whose weight fluctuates a lot, but I've always been on the thicker side my entire life. I've lost a little weight in my adult year, but I've always been a thick bitch. And I think that if your body's changing and you say that you've put on a little weight since COVID, I think to start embracing that femme side again, I think you have to take some time to love on your thicker self. Like, something that I did was that I would just like, Bob talking about like my nudes, like I would like just take naked pictures of myself and take naked videos of myself and look at myself and be like, bitch, this is hot. This is sexy. And I would just like look in the mirror and just affirm what I was seeing in the camera, what I was seeing in the mirror, and like taking that time to be like, this looks good. I think this is sexy. I better work. And I think that that was a big part of building my confidence in how my body was changing and me truly coming to love myself, because it took me a long time to get here, right? And we talk about on the podcast, you know, how we look at old pictures of ourselves and be like, not this, Colleen, get down from there. We talk about...
Why don't
we
talk to Cass like, as if Cass gonna listen? Cass be like, nigga, I heard you and I'm not doing it. That's how Cass look at people.
And then, you know, we look at old pictures of myself and be like, I was so hard on myself and I was smaller back then. I think when I realized that was happening, I would really like go and like do the work of looking at my body and taking pictures and video of myself and be like, I look sexy, I look hot, what of it? And also drag, like being, giving myself the liberty to love myself in drag was a big part in also that journey to loving my body and myself and what I looked like.
I've gained a lot of weight over the years. I do not quite fluctuate. I just kind of just keep going up. You know, from when I started drag, I've legitimately gained 60 pounds from when I started doing drag. 60 pounds. That is a lot of person. It does not help that I was very skinny. I was skinny when I started doing drag. And now I am someone's uncle. I'm a several someone's uncles, to be quite frank. And that's just kind of how my body has changed over the years. My body, that's just what my body's grown into. I could probably do something to change it. But as we mentioned on the last podcast, I could either do the physical work it takes to change my body or the mental work it takes to love it. And I've chosen to do neither. A lot of people really resonated with that quote the last time I said it. But the truth is I actually am working to try to, you know, to love my body. That was actually more of a bit than actual truth. And, you know, my gender expression has definitely changed over the years throughout my aging and my weight gain. You know, I will get this, but this is a picture of me when I was like 25 and I was like 180 pounds. And I was dressing the way I'm dressing there, which is like a black shirt and some black jeans. And I was just like skinny and at the club, like living my dreams. And this is a picture of me around like 240, which is what I am at now, 60 pounds later. You know what I mean? And I something interesting that I realized is like, Nathan, there is someone out there who is very into your body. Oh, baby, someone's into your body. Someone is very into the way Nathan's shaped right now. Someone out there is wants to fucking slurp up on some Nathan right now. Somebody wants that thick, non-binary Bristol bussy, baby. And somebody wants it today, honey, all right? Bussy. And there is nothing wrong with, getting affirmations from people hearing people tell me that I was sexy really helped me out. Oh my God. Helped me so much. Having someone affirm you in your beauty, oh my God, that can do a lot. There's nothing wrong with asking for that and searching for that. You don't ever let anyone make you feel bad about it.
Yes, I agree. Sorry, Colleen jumped. I got nervous.
Put your cat down. Stairs, please.
I shan't.
Are you not going to acknowledge that really brilliant bit? You're such a hater these days. I don't know what's got into you. You're a hater these days.
We probably have time for one more question, so we should take the question, Bob.
Well, we have time for you to acknowledge that I am, that was funny.
That was our last question.
Oh.
So why don't we spend the rest of these last 6 minutes talking about our problems?
Or you could talk about what you thought about Black Panther 2. We haven't discussed on the podcast yet.
We need to talk to him. Money needs to address the issue, the elephant in the room.
Her opinion on Black Panther 2? That would be a really good topic. Bob, what did you think of Black Panther 2?
I thought that it was as funny as me. What do you think, Monet? Do you think Black Panther 2 was as funny as me?
I thought M'Baku was I loved M'Baku's role in the film. I loved him.
If I'm being very serious, I'm
and he's Trinidadian. Did you know that? He's West Indian, bitch. I know that you hate West Indians and you talk about Caribbean people all the time.
Wait, what?
We all know it.
Why would I hate West Indians?
We have nothing to do by your behaviors on this podcast.
And we know how you feel about Southerners. And there's a lot of Southerners who listen to this podcast.
Some of my favorite dick is from the South.
Okay, okay. You fetishize our dick. What about our way of life, honey? My honest thoughts about Black Panther 2, Wakanda Forever. You know, it was long. And we need to obviously spoiler alert. We're throwing out a spoiler alert to you all.
Yeah.
Black Panther 2 was long. Mama, it was giving long. It could have been shorter. I really do feel that way. It was really weird to see them pay tribute to a dead character who's also a dead person. Like, they were paying tribute to T'Challa, but also paying tribute to Chadwick Boseman.
Yeah.
Which was very interesting. I wasn't in love with, like, the racial fighting between the indigenous Mexicans or the indigenous North Americans and the black people.
The Mesoamericans.
Thank you. Between the Mesoamericans and the black folks, I was like, why we got to be fighting? Like, when we could be fighting Julia Louis-Dreyfus, who's over here actively plotting all of our downfall. Let's go fight the vice president. Let's go fight Veep.
Well, I think they're trying to build up to that. So they did it in this thing.
But I want to fight Veep now. I want to fight I don't want to fight these fucking Mesoamericans. I want to fight the vice president, honey.
My qualm was that I thought it was a good movie. I go to Marvel movies for the fighting and the crazy fight scenes, and the first Black Panther movie, the fight scenes were so fucking good in it. And in this one, I feel like the fiercest one was the one with Okoye and one of the they're not Atlantans. What are they called? Tolokan,
I can't remember. It was hard to pronounce.
Yeah,
I
mean, one of the Mesoamericans and Okoye when they fought on the bridge in Boston. To me, that was the fiercest fight scene, and the big fight scene that we built up to the end, it just felt a little anticlimactic. There was a few moments, but normally the final fight scene in these Marvel movies, they're always fucking fierce, and you leave the theater like, oh my god, that was so good. So that I was upset that I didn't get like the fighting scenes that I wanted in Black Panther.
And Black Panther was getting her ass whooped. She was getting beat the fuck up. I was like, she is getting whooped up, honey. Beat down. I was like, my God, this is not looking good at all. She got the powers and didn't do nothing. I was like, what is going on?
Well, you know, because T'Challa was like an expert warrior and like a good fighter. And Shuri's claim to Black Pantherism, or like we've seen, is that she's really smart. So like you would think that she would like give herself like gadgets and stuff to give her a leg up. And like those two little hand things she made, he crushed those in the first second of combat. They were gone.
Yeah, like make her like Iron Man or something. You know what I mean?
Like super smart, right?
Yeah, like
because she is super smart.
But use your technology the way Iron Man does, or the way that college girl was doing.
Ironheart.
The college girl name is Ironheart.
Yeah, she's gonna be Ironheart in this series. She's Iron Man's protege. Well, she becomes the new Iron Man.
And her spin-off Marvel show is the one that Shay's in.
Yeah. Wow. So why do you hate Shay? Shay has done nothing but support you. Your little black nativity show. What's it called? Umoja, no. What is the show with BB and you and Pep and Shay? Oh my God!
What do you think it is, Monet? Why do you hate BB, Pep, and Shay? Why do you hate me, BB, Pep, and Shay, and Mohart? Why do you hate all of us?
Jacob, that's the
real
again?
Question. I'm not telling you. Why do you tell me why you hate all of us, and I'll tell you the name of it. Why did you decline an invitation to be a part of it?
That is, I have explained this story 19 times. I did not decline it. Y'all know.
Why did you decline?
Y'all know.
Why
do you not want to be associated with?
Why do you want to distance yourself from the other black creators?
That's not what happened, and y'all know that's not what happened.
Why you want to be on a separate? Why do you think you're better than all the other black girls?
What is the name of it? Nativity, Umoja.
Yeah, it's called Jumanji.
What is the name?
It's called Nubia.
Nubia.
And then you belittle it and laugh at it by calling it Umaji and Jubambwe, Djibouti. You are, this is, the way you want to separate yourself from all the black girls and belittle what we've created.
That is not what's happening. You're so ridiculous.
You think you're better than us.
I do not.
Are you better than us? Are you better than me?
I'm definitely better than you.
Are you better than Pep?
I'm better than you.
Are you better than Pep?
I'm better than you.
Are you better than BB?
I'm better than you.
Are you better than Shay?
I'm better than you.
Are you better than Mohar?
I'm better than you. So the question thing, so the question is, if you think you're better than all of them, then I guess I am.
So you're better than all of them.
If I'm better than you, how do you rate yourself next to these queens?
Wow. I think we're equals.
Okay, so I guess we're equal then.
No, so if you're better than me and we're equals, you're better than all of them.
Yeah, I guess.
Did you know how math works, Mama? You ever heard the transitive property, Mama?
I don't, but I know how math works, and I'm about to do some right now.
So by the transitive property, you think you're better than all y'all? You heard it, Monet's better than every other black queen who's ever existed. I'm sorry y'all had to find out this way.
You know what? Me, Vixen, and Tamisha Mon, we gonna start our own thing called Khadijah.
And on that note, y'all have a one. Thank you for listening to Sibling Advisory. Goodbye, everyone.
You are wild.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.